The elections for police and crime commissioners will be the biggest shake-up in policing in England and Wales for a generation. That's according to the Home Secretary and many others. But a study by the Electoral Reform Society predicts that the vote in November could achieve the lowest turnout ever for a British election. In the second of his special reports, our political correspondent Chris Mason now looks at the politics surrounding the poll.
This is an idea for public service reform with a long gestation period. Jumpstart the democratic accountability of police forces, the argument goes, and elect a figurehead. Turbocharge scrutiny, empower local people, get rid of police authorities, those all but anonymous collections of councillors and local appointees. John Collins is deputy director of the think tank The Police Foundation.
It's a policy that's been a long time in development. This idea started to be worked up in Conservative circles way back in around 2003. It was developed quite extensively in opposition by a number of people, including Nick Herbert, who's now the policing minister. It was in the Conservative manifesto and in the coalition agreement. And since the current coalition government came in, it's been a clear priority in terms of policing reform.
So why then, with just 12 weeks to go until the elections, are we hearing criticisms like this?
A shambles. They've decided to hold a winter election, even though we know that that drives turnout down.
Katie Ghosh is the chief executive of the Electoral Reform Society, which campaigns for what it calls a better democracy.
We think that as few as one in five of us could go to the polls, and if that does happen, that would be the lowest turnout in British election history.
Which might just explain this rather innovative approach to drum up interest.
Now, everyone in Lancashire, please listen to what I say. There's an election coming in November, and I don't mean the USA. The election is in our county. It'll never be the same. It's for a police and crime commissioner. Allow me to explain.
Flat out on its administrative deathbed, a commission from the Lancashire Police Authority, a group called the Lancashire Hot Pots, with a spot of what they hope is public service with a smile. Sam Chapman is the editor of the Top of the Cops blog, which is following the Police and Crime Commissioner elections.
I think we are used as a country not having a great deal of input as to what happens locally. Consequently, it is unsurprising if the debate is not very developed. Give the Police and Crime Commissioner reform a couple of years and the debate will probably be very different from the sort of debate that we hold today.
And expect something of a publicity push come the autumn. Whilst the electorate wrestles with a concept that many are not familiar with, other tussles have broken out. Some independent candidates grumble about the lack of a state-funded mail shot to all voters. And there's been confusion over whether people with convictions, perhaps half a century ago as children, would be barred from standing. High-profile candidates such as the Falklands War veteran Simon Weston and Iraq War veteran Tim Collins have pulled out. But the policing minister, Nick Herbert, says having a candidate cast list blessed with stardust misses the point. It's about having strong local candidates, whether they're on a party political ticket or not. John Collins from the Police Foundation again.
I think one of the really interesting things about this is that we're looking at essentially 41 mini-experiments. They will all operate slightly differently. All the individuals elected will be different, all the chief constables are slightly different, and those relationships will develop differently in different areas.
Big implications then for policing, and a big constitutional change too. Voters have acquired something of a habit for gently blowing a raspberry in the face of local democratic innovations. In May, people in nine English cities were given the chance to have directly elected mayors, and they said no. When Labour were in power, they offered people in the northeast of England the opportunity to have a regional assembly. Again, people said no. Blair Gibbs from the centre-right think tank Policy Exchange used to work for Nick Herbert, the policing minister.
It's almost an extension of the franchise in some ways. It gives people a vote when they've never had one in this area before. In our democratic life, we now have an important executive figure at local level. As a constitutional reform, this is a legacy for the coalition government.
Blair Gibbs from Policy Exchange, ending that report by Chris Mason. The elections are across England and Wales, but outside London. Well, I'm joined now by Sir Hugh Ord, who's president of the Association of Chief Police Officers. And what are your colleagues saying about this?
Good afternoon. Well, my colleagues will, of course, work with whatever structure of accountability the government decides to put in place, because I think one of the great strengths of British policing is our willingness to be held to account, to be transparent and to be as open as we possibly can be. This is a step change in accountability in terms of a mechanism. 17 people being replaced by one in 41 parts of the United Kingdom. But it's one we will, of course, work with.
Work with, it doesn't sound like you're embracing it with open arms. The Police Foundation has said that there could be tensions and chief constables may move on soon.
Well, there's always, there should be a tension. One of a great, again, another great strength is there needs to be a healthy tension between those who hold us to account, who challenge us in what we do to make sure we are delivering what the local communities want, and the chief constable, who, of course, maintains his or her operational independence in getting the job done, which is equally vital. But there's always been a tension. Whether we, I don't think it's an indifference at all. What we're saying is it's absolutely the right of government to decide how a civilian police service like ours, which is seen as a world leader, is held to account. That's not apathy. That's just recognising the rights of government.
Many of the candidates do come from party political backgrounds. Will that make a difference, do you think?
Yes, I think it will. The vast majority, I think, of people elected will be on a party ticket. But we have, you know, we have had substantial discussions with government. There is an oath of impartiality which every police and crime commissioner will be required to take on taking up office, which makes the point very much around how they must not interfere with the operationally independent chief, but they must hold that person to account. And providing the oath is properly worded, I think that's another reassurance for my colleagues that they will not get in the way of the operational end of the business, but absolutely will be holding us to account for how we deliver policing in the local community.
Do you worry at all about these predictions of a very low turnout, despite the best efforts of groups like the Lancashire Hot Pots?
Yes, please, I hadn't heard that before.
I don't want to hear it again.
No, I don't think that's a matter for the police service. The government has made a decision to change the accountability mechanism. In my judgment, that's the biggest step change in policing since 1829. I think it makes sense from a policing perspective that the greater legitimacy the individual elected has, the more likely it is to succeed. But of course, we as public servants are very much bound by the Electoral Reform Act. We should not really get involved in the politics of it. What we will do, and what I can assure your listeners, that we will work very closely with these people to make sure that we keep them safe, both at the local level and at the national level. And these people are responsible for all policing, not just local policing.
Sir Hugh Ord from ACPO, many thanks.